In our last time together, we avoided discussing a very exciting matter in order to stay with our necessary study of the breach period of Christianity. Having now completed this in the introductory messages, let's pick up there. I stated that only now is Yahweh removing his hand from our eyes and showing us what he's been doing. It concluded with the question as to why now? Why is it that after 2,000 years of church history, suddenly Yahweh would begin to open our eyes to see truth that he had hidden? The answer? Because he must raise up an Elijah to prepare the way for the return of Yeshua. And he prepares that way with the declaration of truth. Many people have wondered and speculated who will be this Elijah. Many Christians falsely expect that Yeshua could come today, failing to notice that there must be an obvious Elijah who will precede and prepare the way for his return. Until we see that Elijah on the scene who can stand by the Jordan, wash and prepare the people for Yeshua's coming, and declare, "Behold, the Lamb of God," then Yeshua will not come. Elijah must first be sent to prepare his way. Who is Elijah? Some people think that Elijah will be a literal man, like John the Baptist. But no, that can't be. Both John and Elijah were only pictures of what the true Elijah will be, just like Jerusalem was only a prophetic picture of what the new Jerusalem would be, or just like the temple was only a picture of what the true temple of Yahweh would be. All of these are only physical pictures of what will be performed in the higher kingdom level that is composed of people. These are the living stone people. People who make up the true temple, or the living stones who make up the new Jerusalem. Yahweh is not interested in literal buildings, just like Paul said concerning literal oxen. This is what Paul said. God is not concerned about oxen, is he? Or is he speaking altogether for our sake? Yes, for our sake. It's not these literal things for which Yahweh is concerned. Literal oxen, literal temple, literal buildings, or even a literal man. No, Yahweh is interested in the higher kingdom fulfillment of these things as they apply to people. Many people, calling together people formed in his image to become the fulfillment of those things for which he has shown us physical pictures. Just the same, Elijah will not be one man. But consistent with the realm of the kingdom of God, Elijah will be a company of people who are called out to prepare the way for Yeshua's return. Let's now see a clear testimony of those Elijah people in action. As we said, Jerusalem is a prophetic picture of the kingdom of God, foreshadowing the new Jerusalem that comes down from above. So when we find a dramatic account of Yeshua triumphantly entering into Jerusalem, being heralded as king who comes in the name of Yahweh, we find here a highly revealing testimony of what it will be like when Yeshua returns to this earth as King of Kings. I hope you see this. This triumphal entry of Yeshua into Jerusalem is a foreshadowing of his soon return to this earth to set up his kingdom. Let's look at some further revealing evidence concerning this. We're told in the scriptures that Elijah must prepare the way for Yeshua's return. So, was there an Elijah preparing the way for Yeshua's entrance into Jerusalem? Very much so. But it was not by one man. We read in each of the first three Gospels that as Yeshua entered into Jerusalem, a multitude of his disciples were going before him, heralding his praises, and preparing his way by laying before him their garments as well as branches from the trees. This is very important to note because these disciples were performing what was precisely the Elijah work. They were preparing the way for the triumphal entry of the Son of God into Jerusalem. But note also that this work was performed by a multitude of his disciples, fulfilling the Elijah ministry, not as a sole individual, but as a multitude. This, my friends, is precisely what will happen at Yeshua's return to this earth to set up his kingdom. His way will be preceded by an Elijah company, a host of his disciples who will lay down their garments and branches before him. We cannot go into the meaning of garments and branches at this time. You'll find that information in the writing titled Prepare the Way, found on our website at GaryNaylor.com. But most importantly, note here the company of disciples who perform the Elijah work. Now let's see something else that's extremely relevant to this entire matter. Not everyone was pleased that Yeshua was making his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. No, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, were standing to the side, and they also cried out to Yeshua, but not with the same purpose. Instead, their efforts were directed at silencing those Elijah witnesses. Teacher, they cried out, rebuke your disciple. Yeshua's answer was very, very important. If you want to know one of the vital purposes of this Elijah work, then listen very carefully to his response. He answered them, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. Now let us ask a question. For what do stones cry out? For what did the stones cry out concerning Stephen? For what did the stones cry out concerning the harlot taken to Yeshua? And for what did the stones cry out concerning Achan for taking some of the devoted things from Jericho? And for what did the stones cry out for the man who carried wood on the Sabbath? In each case, stones cried out for one thing, for wrath, for judgment. That is the outcry of stones. Judgment. The entire Old Testament closes with two highly important verses. This is the last word of the Old Testament. Here they are. Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of Yahweh. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. Did you hear that? Yahweh said that he would send Elijah before the great and terrible days of Yahweh, lest he come and smite the land with a curse. Everyone thinks that's what Yeshua is coming for, to perform wrath. But I read here that there's an alternative, a hope-filled alternative. Instead, Yahweh said that when Yeshua came, it would be a great and terrible day. But we read here that those days are coming unless Yahweh sends Elijah to prepare his way. The stones cry out for the great and terrible day of Yahweh unless the Elijah work is performed. Teacher, rebuke your disciples, they cried out. No, the coming king knew far better I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. These multitudes that were preparing Yeshua's triumphal entry into Jerusalem were the foreshadowing Elijah work. The Pharisees did not know what they were asking. If Yahweh does not send Elijah before the great and terrible day of Yahweh, then the stones will cry out. If Yahweh does not send an Elijah people before Yeshua returns, then he would come in wrath. And frankly, it wouldn't be the world that would receive his wrath. It would be those Pharisees. It would be the church, Mystery Babylon Christianity, that would receive the wrath for corrupting his kingdom for 2,000 years. Christians don't realize how guilty they are, or how blind. So who specifically is this Elijah company? I think you already know from listening to these messages. But let's look at the scriptures and derive the answer. There's another element of this Elijah work that will tell us who this is. Not only does Elijah have the specific testimony that he must prepare the way for the Son of God, but he is also identified as the one who will ascend alive. Of course, you'll recall that Elijah ascended alive in a whirlwind, leaving his mantle to the watching Elisha, who was separated from him by the chariot of fire and horses of fire. Well, right away, we see the testimony of the two-part remnant work that is separated by the fire period of Christianity. Undoubtedly, one of the best ways to identify this Elijah is in considering the laws of Yahweh regarding the cleansing of the leper in Leviticus 14. Here we find that there were two birds used in this cleansing process. The first bird was taken and slain over an earthen vessel over running water, and its blood was collected in the vessel. Next, the second bird was dipped into the blood of the first bird and then released alive over an open field. These two birds clearly reveal the two works of the two remnants. Like the first bird, the first remnant was slain in their earthen vessel over running waters of Pentecost. Like Moses, they were not allowed to enter into the promised land, but died while in their earthly bodies. The second remnant would therefore be the second bird that does not die, but ascends alive. And even as the second bird was dipped into the blood of the first bird, there's an intrinsic relationship between these two remnants, the second being empowered by and completing the work of the first. As you're seeing, this Elijah witness is always matched with another work. Elijah was matched with Elisha. The Elijah second bird that ascended alive was matched with the first bird that had to die. And even on the Mount of Transfiguration, once again, Elijah was matched with the one who, like the first bird, had to die in order to enter into the promised land. Of course, that was Moses. Well, clearly, what we're looking at here is the testimony of the two remnants. And without any question, the Elijah work, this Elijah company of people, is the second remnant. For it will be the second remnant who will be the first among men to ascend alive into heaven, to be glorified on the Mount of Transfiguration with the Moses first remnant. These two companies form the bride of Yeshua, who will return to earth with him to reign with him for 1,000 years in the millennial rest. Now that we've clearly identified who is this Elijah, let's look at two more important evidences about this wrath-averting aspect of the second remnant. We've seen that the second remnant is the Elijah, but we've also said that they are the bride, and both are true. Both identities describe qualities of the same work. In consideration of this wrath-averting aspect of the second remnant, let's now see this identical testimony in the bride. This first example is covered more fully in the writing titled Carmel, located on our website. For our purposes here, we'll once again have to be very brief. There was a man in the Bible whose name was Nabal. And he lived up to the meaning of his name, for his name meant worthless. Do you remember the linen waistband that Jeremiah hid in the cleft of the rock that was likewise totally worthless? Well, identified by the meaning of his name, we'll see in Nabal another testimony of the cleft period of Christianity. Nabal had a wife whose name was Abigail. And upon his foolish treatment of David's men, Abigail performed an intercessorial act required to avert the wrath of soon coming David. It was getting ready to be a great and terrible day for Nabal. In fact, David was coming to destroy him and every single male in his household. But Abigail interceded for her husband by quickly going to David and averting his wrath. "Blessed be Yahweh, God of Israel," said David, "who sent you this day to meet me, and blessed be your discernment, and blessed be you, who have kept me this day from coming in with blood and avenging myself by my own hand." Abigail's discernment and her act of intercession averted David's wrath. But in 10 days, Yahweh put Nabal to sleep, and a bride was called out for David, who was soon to become king. Do you see here once again the wrath-averting work, this time by one who is entirely prophetic of the bride of Yeshua who comes out of the sleeping body? I'm going to restate the words of David, and as I do, listen carefully, for in them you'll hear the words of Yeshua as he prepares to return to this earth in wrath and in a robe dipped in blood, as we read in Revelation. But in like regard, he finds a bride that comes out of a sleeping and worthless man. Blessed be Yahweh, God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me, and blessed be your discernment, and blessed be you, who have kept me this day from coming in with blood, and from avenging myself by my own hand. This, my dear friend, is the outcome of the bride. Even the Elijah work, who once again, as we see here, prepares the way for the coming king, and the rocks are silent. You know, a bride can have a very calming effect on a man. They often satisfy their husband's troubled soul, even as the bride of Yeshua will satisfy him. But even more so, Yahweh has actually even obligated himself not to send Yeshua in wrath. By giving Yeshua a bride, according to Yahweh's own laws, Yeshua couldn't even go to war. We read in Deuteronomy 20, verse 7, as well as 24, verse 5, that it's a violation of Yahweh's law for Yeshua to go to battle when he's taken to himself a new bride. The law required that neither before a man's marriage nor for a year afterwards could that man go to war. Thus, it's actually entirely illegal for Yeshua to come to this earth in wrath with a new bride at his side. No, my friend. This bride work, or or this Elijah work, this work of the second remnant, is performed with one great purpose: to prepare the way for the return of Yeshua and to avert his wrath. Listen. Listen. Can you hear it in the wind? Can you hear it gently blowing in the tops of the trees? It's a cry. It's a cry of a remnant bride. Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is the King who comes in the name of Yahweh. Oh, stones. Stones. Hush. Hush. Keep silent. If you're as incredibly amazed with what you're learning here as I am, you'll wonder why it is that Yahweh is only now opening these things to a remnant people. We've already said that it's to prepare Yeshua's way in truth. But here's another reason. With every wedding, there's always a feast beforehand. This is the wedding feast in which the Father provides a banquet to celebrate the uniting of the bride and the groom. What banquet meal will Yahweh serve at this reception on behalf of the uniting of his son with his bride? He'll serve that which kingdom men have fasted from for 2,000 years. He's serving us his truth. In Revelation 19:7 through 9, we read, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." I'm not being presumptuous when I tell you that what Yahweh is providing his remnant bride, what you're learning in these messages and in these writings, is nothing less than the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's no way we can understand these marvelous truths other than Yahweh is feeding us from above. These are mysteries that have been hidden from the church for 2,000 years. As we saw before, only now is Yahweh removing his hand from our eyes so that we can see all that he is doing and all that he has done. Yahweh is now feeding us truth that has been reserved for the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is the wedding feast that Yeshua was invited to, which he performed the initiating miracle of turning the water into wine, when there was no more wine to be drunk. And this wine is the best wine, reserved for the end of the church period. As it was written, "You have kept the good wine until now." Yahweh is feeding his remnant truth, his marriage supper of the Lamb. And this feast is taking place now. This is not a feast that is something that is a celestial gathering somewhere someday, but rather, what is being served enables the bride here on earth to do exactly what was spoken of in those verses in Revelation. "For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready." This is the truth that Yahweh is now feeding the remnant bride, and it enables her to make herself ready, to become prepared for the return of Yeshua, even to prepare his way. If you'd like to talk with us, give us a call. Our number is 360-825-9337. And be sure and visit our website at www.garynaylor.com. That's GaryNaylor.com. This is Gary Naylor, inviting you to be a part of Yeshua's remnant bride and to prepare the way for his return.